This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Very lucky to be joined today by David Lane, president of the One Foundation. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for that great presentation you just gave on the release of the data report. Just want to ask you a few follow-up questions.
Sure.
Starting with, the Obama administration's Global Health Initiative emphasizes the need to increase country-owned programming for sustainable change. How can the G8 donors encourage emerging economies to invest more in their development? Will commitments like those made in Glen Eagles become less important?
I hope they become less important. I think that's an extremely important part of the equation. As we look toward the G8 meeting in Canada coming up, health is also on the agenda once again with the Maternal and Child Health Initiative. And again, it calls on Western resources. So I want to make the point that it's too early yet to say that enough domestic resources can be mobilized. We know right now that there are effective programs like the Global Fund for HDB and Malaria, the Global Gavi, which is the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunizations, that today can save lives, and they're just underfunded. So until we reach a point of much greater resources being mobilized in Africa, I think it's important that the West do that. At the same time, it would be a tragedy if Western assistance allowed African leaders to be off the hook, to refocus their resources elsewhere. And they have theoretically committed shares of their domestic budgets for health, and I think we need to monitor that just as aggressively as we monitor Western contributions, because ultimately governments ought to be accountable to their people, and that is about as the most basic social service that can be provided, and African leaders themselves need to step up there.
Great, thank you. The data report calls for an increase in smart aid investments. Which examples of these investments does one recommend? Where have they been successful in the past?
Yep. I think the most effective aid, and I'm not saying this because you're a global health person, but the best examples are in the health field, where there's really been dramatic progress over the last 10 years probably. And as I said earlier, the Global Fund is a vehicle which exists to support country designed and country led initiatives, which is very, very important, that focus on AIDS, TB, and malaria. And there are lots of outcome measures which they hold themselves accountable to, and which, you know, are easily found, published, that you can see what they have done. And among other things, and people tend to focus on the AIDS side and the number of people on ARVs, but just I think in the case of malaria, more than 100 million bed nets have been distributed. And we know in Africa that malaria deaths have been cut in half. Just for, in the case of a couple countries that I visited just in the last year, Ethiopia, Rwanda, I think also Zambia, a few others. So dramatic progress as a result of the Global Fund, which is underfunded. So it's right there sitting there for countries to step up to. They're going through the replenishment cycle, I think, in October. In addition, Gavi, the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunizations, has immunized just in the last probably 5-6 years, more than 250 million kids. And by, I think, a pretty serious accounting, that represents saving 5.4 million lives. That's a big deal. I think malaria, there are a host of effective programs on malaria, which I don't need to tell you is very much on people's minds. And there is great progress being made. And the other thing about malaria is that it's something, as an advocate, that I appreciate, that people can understand. They understand how a $10 bed net can save a life. And a kid, in fact, some fascinating stuff going on across the country where high school age kids are having car washes and doing various things to buy bed nets because they want to save lives. And that's a very powerful testament.
Wonderful. Thank you. With the exception of a few surveys, foreign aid does not poll well.
Yeah.
How do you engage a larger portion of the American public in the debate over foreign aid?
Well, first of all, when the public is asked about foreign aid, they approach the question with a lot of misconceptions, because I think there's usually a follow-up question which asks people what do they think would be the right amount, and they'll say, well, probably only about, you know, whatever number they come up with is invariably much more than we actually spend. So there's a misconception, and in many ways it's because aid was demonized over the years, and it was a pretty easy thing to do. We're shipping your money off to corrupt people overseas. It is also the case that aid has not been as effective historically as it should be. And it wasn't always even asked to do the things it should do to lift people out of poverty and promote development. In the Cold War, let's be honest, in Africa, there were some very bad leaders who we were quite happy to support with foreign assistance, as long as they were our friends and not the Russians' friends, not the friends, the Soviets' friends. So we look back at that with a lot of regret, and we need to commit going forward to not play those games anymore, and to ask of aid that it help lift people out of poverty and help develop their economies and develop opportunities. And frankly, as President Obama has said, the goal of aid ought to be to put itself out of business, you know, to transition to where countries can provide their own opportunities. And so to your question about how to sell it, I think people need to know that it works. When people find out that investments, especially in the health area, but also in education, some other areas, have made a difference, that suspicion that you described in these polls melts away. They just want to know that it makes a difference. And it's our job as advocates to be sure they know, and to be sure that they know that additional resources and additional advocacy on their part can continue to make a difference.
How can stakeholders ensure that new commitments are transparent and results-oriented without placing undue burden on recipient countries?
Yeah, well, the funny thing about the new commitments, accountability is a two-way street, because what the data report does is measure accountability of the rich countries to keeping their promises. And Gleneagles, easy enough to measure because they were dollar commitments. But, you know, last year the G8 made a range of commitments on food and food security, and a lot of us have had trouble evaluating how well they're doing because they were squishy commitments. So we've embraced a set of principles we call the TRAC principles that says commitments ought to be transparent, results-oriented. We ought to know when the money is additional, because countries play a lot of funny games about recounting and relabeling old money. When there are conditions imposed, we ought to be honest about that. That ought to be clear. And then at the end of the day, you ought to know whether commitments were kept. And so we are aggressively urging the G7 when they gather, the UN when they gather at their MDG summit, for the donor countries to embrace these kinds of criteria. As for countries themselves, you just hear horror stories about a poor health minister trying to find her way, his or her way, leading their country, and having to deal with hundreds and hundreds of success measures imposed by lots of different agencies. There ought to be outcome measures. We ought to be able to show the publics in the wealthier countries what they're getting for their money. But we owe it to the poor people working in the field, working on the front lines, to rationalize and harmonize our approach and have kind of standard measurements instead of imposing all these bureaucratic requirements that we do.
Okay, I think we'll finish there. Thank you very much for your time today. To read the full report, please visit one.org, and we look forward to reading the 2011 copy.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.